Praise God, praise God. If you have your Bibles, you can go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. This is the highlight of your week. Amen. Right here, right now. Praise God. You know, when Marv Levy said, "Where would you rather be than right here, right now?" He was talking about today. Amen. He just didn't know it, but he was. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, I miss Marv Levy. Bills are going to get beat tonight. I'm just telling you. That's a downer right there. I didn't say I wanted it to happen. I'm just speaking what I think. Praise God. Oh, get ready. I texted my friend on the way. Well, Reverend Randy from the Japestown Church, he thinks our Bills are going to win by 10 tonight. Well, I texted him. You just keep it down here. I'm the one with the microphone up here. I texted him this morning on the way to church, and I said, 12 hours till frustration. Oh, it's coming tonight. Terrible towels are going to get us. Praise God. Well, we hope not. But anyways, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. We're in a good place this morning. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. He loves you. He does. Your pastor loves you too, just so you know. Father, thank you so much for helping us this morning. Lord, we need your help. We need you. Father, we can't do this without you. We're not here to hear from me. Lord, I am an unimpressive individual apart from you. Not much education. Not a very good speaker, Father. Not too much natural smarts, you know, Father, but with the anointing and with the Holy Ghost and with the Word, we can accomplish some things this morning. So, Father, I thank you that as I open my mouth, Father, you're going to fill it. And, Father, I'm reminded that, Lord, even though I think of the disciples, Father, and how they were uneducated, they weren't learned in very many things, you know, they didn't have the degrees, they didn't have schooling, and they turned the world on its head. Because Lord, you've chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And Father, there's nothing more foolish I can think of this morning than you putting me in a place to lead and guide your people. But Father, I know that through you we can do all things. So what I'm trying to say, Father, is I thank you that when I open my mouth, supernatural things are going to happen today. Father, I thank you bullseyes will be hit. The anointing is going to kick in this service. And people are going to be changed and lives will be different walking out of here. People are going to hear things this morning that are so specific to their life. They're going to think that this message was prepared just for them. Father, I can't do that on my own. I don't know everybody personally. I don't know what everybody's going through. I don't know the thoughts, the questions, the problems, the situations everybody face. But you do. So I thank you today's their help. And Father, we don't look to a man. We don't look to the name on the building. We look to you. So thank you for the help this morning. We say we're going higher. We're going to a greater level of glory. We're ready to receive what you have for us here today. Thank you. This is an event with you that will change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Romans 12 and verse 2. Now, the Lord, when I was in, Pastor Michael had a couple Mayville services in Mayville a few weeks back, and I was there. And when I was there, he gave me a message to share with both churches for our New Year's service, which will be the week after, obviously, next week. And so that's going to be what the Lord has on my heart. He showed me some things for that service, and we'll do that. But this also is kind of like a New Year's service. Next week will be our Christmas service, of course, and we'll highlight Jesus and however the Holy Ghost has us to go. And we always highlight him, of course, but this is almost kind of like a New Year's service, and you'll see what I mean. So I'm real excited about today because we're on the heels of 2020. And it's a blank canvas for us, right? It's a whole year, never been done before. You've never been in it. And we'll be at the end of 2020 before you know it. What's your 2020 going to look like? We have a part to play in that, amen? And so I want to help you with some things. But Romans 12, 2 says, "Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed or changed." How? By the renewing of your mind. So he says, change comes from the mind. If the mind's not thinking right, there's no change. Amen. It all starts getting your mind renewed to the Word of God and His ways. You know, a lot of people, that's why they struggle. They're doing it their own ways. Well, he says, my ways aren't your ways. My thoughts aren't your thoughts. So we don't want to go with our thoughts. We don't want to go with our ways. We want to go with His thoughts and His ways. Why? The Bible says they're higher than ours. He's perfect. He sits from a perched position. He's been to your future back. He knows everything you need to do to be successful. So you don't want to go by your thoughts. You go by God's thoughts, which God's thoughts are the Word, the thoughts of the Holy Ghost, what the Holy Ghost says to us. And it says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and the result will be that you're going to prove what that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is. Well, isn't that what we want? The perfect will of God for our lives? It says it can't happen without renewing your mind. There's something powerful about the mind. And if the mind's not thinking right, it can affect every other area of your life. And Proverbs 23 and verse 7, real quick. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Hallelujah. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. One translation says, as a man thinks, so is he. What's going on in your thought life is the life you're going to live. It's just the truth. He said, renew your mind to the Word. You want good things to happen? You've got to renew your mind to the good things. If your mind stays in what I call stinking thinking, that's the way your life's going to turn out. That's the way things are going to happen for you. Well, we don't want that. And so what I want to do this morning is talk about thinking different going into 2020. Having a different thought process, entering a new year. Now, this message isn't something I just pulled out of the air or, you know, flipped through the Bible. I waited on God, and this is what He gave me for today. Praise God. And so we're going to talk about, thinking different going forward into 2020. I want to rearrange or tweak some of your thoughts because some of the ways you're thinking is holding you back. As a man thinketh, so is he. You're thinking poverty, thinking sickness, thinking defeat, thinking fear, thinking worry. No, we got to think different going forward. John chapter 4 and verse 24, I'm laying some groundwork here. John chapter 4, verse 24. Isn't it good to be in church? Amen. You know, when we don't have midweek service, I feel like it's been forever since I've seen you. That's how a week feels forever to me. I like to see you more than that, praise God. But the Bible says, so we're talking about thinking different. So I'm going to lay some groundwork for you here. God is a spirit. Numbers 23 says that God is not a man that he should lie. But, and this verse backs it up. It says God's not a man. What's a man? Flesh and blood. God is not a man. He's a spirit, right? And so what it's saying there is that God's not natural. God is supernatural. Amen? The God you're dealing with is not a natural God, but He operates from a supernatural position. In fact, we see in the Bible that God, because He's supernatural, you could say it this way, it supersedes the natural. And we see that in the Word. We see time stop for a whole day when it needed to stop. That's superseding the natural. We see a body of water go up to its sides and the ground become dry and 2 million people cross and be delivered from the Egyptians. That's supernatural. We see Sarah, 90 years old, Abraham, 100, have a baby. What did he do? He superseded the natural. Well, God is for you. God is your Father, praise God, is He not? And so if God deals from a supernatural standpoint and is supernatural, why do we have our attention and our focus on the natural? Why do we let the natural conditions, circumstances, symptoms, bank reports, rumors, things we're hearing, why do we let that dictate how we feel, how we think, how we go forward each and every day? Because our God is not dealing from a position of natural. This is why we bring our Bibles to church. Amen? Electronics, you just never know. Technology, but anyways. He's a supernatural God. So what I'm saying is the things you're facing that are natural laws, that are naturally there, natural things, what? This is what my bank account says. This is what the doctor's report says. This is what my body's telling me. This is what the circumstances are saying. Stop looking at that or dealing from that or taking your thoughts, feelings, and emotions forward from that place. God's not interested in that. I want you to start thinking different going into 2020 from a supernatural standpoint. We get caught up thinking that the way it is in the natural is just the way it has to be at times, and that can hurt us, and that can make us discouraged, and we lose our faith. We're not, we get worried and fearful and full of anxiety because we can't figure out a way in the natural. And we think because we can't see it in the natural, because we can't figure it out in the natural, we're in trouble. But God's not even interested. When God split the Red Sea, He wasn't thinking, hey, what do I have in the natural to work with to make that happen? No. When God stopped time, He wasn't thinking, hey, what can I do? No, it was supernatural. When Sarah had the baby and Abraham, the Bible says her body was as good as dead to have a baby. That Abraham's body was as good as dead to have a baby. There was no natural things to work with. Didn't bother God. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the furnace and Nebuchadnezzar turned it up 7 times hotter, and the people that were just standing next to it died and got burnt up because it was so hot, and they were spared. There was nothing natural that God said, you know, I got a really good fireproof suit I picked up on Amazon. No. It was supernatural. Well, what if you would go into the new year with the things that are so naturally grounded, so naturally established in your life, and stop looking at them from a response or an answer from a natural. But what if the supernatural would take over and supersede what my natural does, says? Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Let me just show you who your God is. I love this verse. We're just trying to strengthen your eyes today. That's what we're doing. We're just trying to help you. We'll get those eyes stronger. It says, now unto Him, talking about Him, that is able. Everybody say, He's able. He's able. Your natural thing that's there and says no and shouts at you. It says no change, no different, nothing going to be different. God is able, praise God. And it says He's able to do. Aren't you glad He's a doer? Oh, man, God wants to do some things in your life. What kind of things? Exceeding abundantly above or higher than you could ask or think. See, you think about a situation and how it is and how you'd like it turned out. God's thinking far above that. Why? He's a how much more God. That's what the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 7 about our Father. He's a how much more God. And here it says that He wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Now, the reason He goes above what we think is because what we think is just from the natural realm. Thoughts, the will, the soul of a person is a natural, it's operating from the natural. It's not operating, the mental arena is not a spiritual arena. God operates from the spiritual arena, not the mental arena, which is just an offshoot of the natural arena. God doesn't operate from that. And so He says, I'm going higher than you think because I don't think from a natural standpoint. I don't think from a mental standpoint. I think from a supernatural. I look at your situation and I see, what if I put my supernatural touch on that? Because I did it once for the water and it split. I did it once for a guy with a slingshot and a rock went hurling. David was not an expert slingshot shooter. There was Jack on that rock and it was called the anointing. It was called God's plan, praise God. Yeah, it was called supernatural. One stone is all it took. I mean, David grabbed 5. Just in case. You know, I put extra bullets in my gun when I go deer hunting, just in case. But with God, all He needed was 1. Right? He said, I'll go to, yeah, Daniel, you're thrown into the lion's den. But I know naturally you're done and you're in trouble, but I'd not operate for that realm. That doesn't trouble me. I'm going to put a little dash of supernatural on that, supersede that natural, and watch you come out of that thing. What if you looked at things that way? Because we know, we've learned around here. Well, why hasn't that just happened? We know it takes faith. We've learned. We've learned that the way that you can stop the flow of God in your life is to be a doubter, a worrier, an unbeliever. We see precedent in the Word all throughout the Bible. The children of Israel were told the promised land was theirs, but they doubted, they got into fear and unbelief and worry, and guess what? They were kept out. They were. We see Jesus say in Mark 9, if you can believe it, then things are possible. But if you can't believe it, then I can't do things. So we know, why doesn't God just look at our situation and supersede it with some supernatural power? Because it takes our faith. So I want to help you in that arena today. Is that okay with you? Go to James 1:17. I want to establish two facts here before we go forward. James 1:17. I want to establish two things going forward. So God's not natural. God's supernatural. He's going to deal with you not on the mental arena or the fleshly arena, but on a supernatural or a superseding the natural arena. And James 1:17, this is what you have to understand now about this first point, is that every good and perfect gift comes from above. Don't misunderstand, God's a giver of good things. But that's not the point. It says it comes down from the Father of lights. Now it's going to tell you something about your Father of lights. With whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. One translation says, he doesn't change. He's the same. What's the Bible say in Hebrews 13 about Jesus? The same. Yesterday, today, and forever. So the Bible's telling you that this supernatural God who supersedes the natural to intervene on the behalf of people, that's what he did. The Red Sea splitting was for people. Daniel being spared was for people. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was for people. The stone was for people, right? Jesus raising from the dead, supernatural, superseding the natural, was for people. Well, the God that supersedes the natural and wants to do it for people, and how much more for his children? Come on now, how much more for you? He loved you enough, he gave his son. Praise God. All those people in the Old Testament don't have it as good as we have it. They weren't born again. They didn't have the Spirit of God living on the inside of them. They weren't children of God. The Bible called them servants. We're in a different place. Praise God. Hallelujah. But it says that God, that Father of lights, who in times past has shown himself strong on the behalf of people by superseding the natural, says he doesn't change. You need to get that in your head and light bulbs start going off and you start getting happy, do a happy dance. Woo! You'll do it. I'll tell you, you start thinking about these things, you'll be happy, happy, happy. Amen. The God who in times past has shown himself strong by taking natural, impossible things that looked like they were never going to change and there was no hope and no help and superseded what the natural said by his divine power. That God that did that, that we celebrate and praise and get excited about, the Bible says he is still today, December whatever date we're in, I don't even know, what's the date today? 15th? Oh, tomorrow's Pastor Tim's birthday. He's out of town, so at least I don't have to do anything for him until he gets back. I didn't miss that, but thank you for reminding me. But December 15th, 2020, think about this. Your God is the exact same God with the exact same power, the exact same abilities that he was when he was on the throne, when the children of Israel were at the banks of the Red Sea and the Egyptian army was bearing down on them. He's the same God that split that water because he loved his people, that's looking down on your life and saying, what do I need to split wide open for them? What do I need to open for them? It's the same God. He's the same. The same. What if we would get that revelation? What would that do for our faith? What would that do for our expectation? But a lot of people, they get worn out. They get disgruntled. They get discouraged. They listen to thoughts of the enemy. Well, it just never works for me. It's never going to change. Well, we'll be sitting here on the eve and the heels of 2021, and nothing will change if you don't change your thinking. If you go into the new year think it's going to always be like it's always been, and it's never going to change, it's never going to get different, that's exactly what I'm going to be preaching to you next year. And saying, okay, let's do it in 2021. I don't know why you wasted 2020. I stood up here and shouted at you like crazy to get you to do it this year coming up. But he's the same. He's the same. So number one, he doesn't change. deals with people supernatural. He supersedes the natural. Now go to Acts 10:34. This will get you real happy with what we already know. Acts 10:34. This is Peter said this, I believe. Yep. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth. He said, this is what I'm about to say is true. That's what he said, of a truth. I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Now, Paul said the same thing. We don't have to turn there, but if you want to write it down for reference, Romans 2:11, Paul said the same thing. God is not a respecter of persons. Well, what's that mean? God plays no favorites. Right. You think, well, Pastor Mike, that's good. You know, you're a pastor, and you make your living working for him. Of course he's going to do things for you. No, he's no respecter of persons. Right. Well, Brother Hagin and Pastor Michael and Pastor Anthony, no, the TV preacher, no, he's no respecter of persons. He looks at you with the same affection and fondness that he looks at me. And how much he loves me and how much he's for me is how much he loves you and how much he's for you. He's no respecter of persons. Now, there's a reason I'm telling you this. So he changes not. He works the supernatural. He takes the natural, supersedes it with his power. Says, I do things greater than what you can think. Says, I don't play favorites. You know what? What I'm trying to get here is the Lord gave me specific things to look at today where I'm going to show you in the Bible by what we know. He doesn't change and he doesn't have a respect for people in the sense of, you know what God's a respecter of? Faith. Amen. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. They, the hungry ones, will be filled. God is not obligated to fill or satisfy the apathetic ones. God is not obligated to fill or satisfy the unhungry, the casual. He said, I will bless and satisfy and fill the ones that hunger. That's the ones that have faith, that expect him to do something. Didn't he say, I'm a rewarder of them that diligently seek me? Without faith, right? It's impossible to please God. When he says diligently seek him is just an act of faith, because if God is real and you really believe that, you'll seek him because there's nothing better. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We need faith. God's a respecter of faith. We see it in the Bible. We see instances where multitudes needed help, but only one got something. In Mark 5:25, verse 34, we see the woman with the issue of blood. Now, the Bible says multitudes were thronging Jesus because when she touched him, the Bible says power went out of him. He recognized that and he said, who touched me? And the disciples said, you're asking who touched you. You see the multitude, they're all touching you. Why are they touching him? Because they need something. But only one got the power to flow. But many needed it. Why didn't they all get it? Well, he told us at the end, he said, daughter, you came different than everybody else. He said, daughter, your faith, verse 34, has made you whole. He's not a respecter of people and titles and countries you live in. People always say, well, if God's so good, why does this country? That country would change if they had the light of the word and got faith. It works for everybody. I don't care what your name, last name is, what your background is, what your current income status is, where you are in life. If you'll apply the word and use faith, you'll get God to show up on the scene. And everything will turn. It's just the way he is. Amen. So he's not a respecter of persons and he doesn't change. So this is what I want to show you some things in the Word based on a few topics that the Lord gave me. And here's what we're going to see today. If we can find that he did it once. If we can find that the God who doesn't change, who doesn't just have respect for those people that he did it for, if we can find that he did it just one time for them, we can take it and say, that belongs to me. What they got belongs to me. Why? He doesn't change, so he has the same abilities, he has the same power, the same willingness. That's what the same means. The same. And he doesn't have, well, he did it for that woman or that man in the Bible. No respecter of persons. If we can find that he did it one time. One time. So are you ready? Yes. Amen. Go with me to Luke 16:11. The first area I want to talk about is divine healing. I don't have time to preach a whole sermon on divine healing, but I'll just hit some of the things the Lord has me hit. But Luke 16:11. That's not where I want to go. Luke 13 and verse 11, not 16. Luke 13, 11. Sorry. Now I want to show you this. If you're here today and you're facing sickness in your body, from boo-boos to crisis, there's a big spectrum when it comes to sickness and disease, isn't there? This is going to offer you hope. Because if we can find that God one time, and we can find a lot, but if we can find one time God said, you know what? I'm a healer, I want to heal them. Because He's the same, and He doesn't just have respect for this person, we can say, divine healing belongs to me. And your expectation will rise in it, your faith will go up in it, and the flow will start working in your life. Well, let's find out, is God a healer? Luke 16:11. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity or a spirit of sickness 18 years and was bowed together and could no wise lift up herself. Terrible condition. When Jesus saw her, He called to her and said, woman, you are loosed or freed from your sickness. And He, now if you say, but this is Jesus, not God. No, remember, all Jesus was, and I'm not saying this to demean Him, He's just as much the Godhead as the Holy Ghost and God is. All Jesus was the flesh version of God on the earth. He was God in the flesh. Amen. He was God among us. You want to know who God was? Look at Jesus, right? The Jesus rule. Jesus said in John chapter 5, I only do and say and proceed with what I see my Father doing, what I see my Father saying or hear my Father saying, and only what He wants. So anything Jesus did was a direct result of the will of God. It's important that you know that. Jesus laid hands on her and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. She got healed. God healed her. With natural therapy? With natural medicine? With I'm not against medicine. I'm not against therapy. I'm not against those things. Man, praise God for those things. But that's not what He used. Why? He's supernatural. If there was a natural remedy, we see the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible says she went to all the doctors. Spent all that she had. Grew nothing better, but rather grew worse. No natural help for her. But God didn't panic. God's not panicking at your situation. But Pastor, they're telling me it's impossible. Big whoop. But Pastor, they're telling me I'm always going to have this medicine. Who gives a rip? What they're telling you. Because God didn't look at the woman with the issue of blood and say, oh, this is a tough one. I mean, she's went to all the doctors and she's went to spend all her money. I can't help her. God said, that's all the natural can do, but I'm not a natural God. He looked at this woman 18 years bowed together, can't lift herself up. No natural help for her. And I said, it's not a problem for me. I'm not a natural God. See, when you start to realize that that realm created this realm becomes a little smaller to you. That's the real realm, the spiritual realm. And the ruler of the synagogue answered in verse 14 with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed not on the Sabbath day. The Lord answered and said, you hypocrite, does not each of you on the Sabbath loose his donkey from the stall and lead him away to watering? Now look at verse 16. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound. Who's the sickness giver? Satan. But boy, God gets the credit for it. Man, God gets the credit for it. I heard a Christian singer one time at a concert with over 10,000 people stand up and tell everybody, God has a sense of humor. Thought, oh, this ought to be good. He said, God thought it was funny to give me ADD. I thought, my Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, Acts 10:38, with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the enemy. This verse here says that Satan bound her. God's the healer, not the sickness giver. Man, the devil likes to get it twisted because how are you ever going to believe for your healing if in the back of your mind you think God's the one that made you sick? So dumb. Don't you think it's dumb? I really think about it. It's kind of dumb. He said, ought not this woman, daughter of Abraham, who Satan is bound, will these 18 years be loosed? So, we see a situation with a woman. Well, what was so special about her? Well, it's going to tell you something of what was so special about her, and you're going to find yourself in the same exact category, but better. Number one, you see in the story that Jesus healed her, which shows us the Father wanted her healed. Well, if he's the same and he doesn't have respect for people, guess how he looks at his children who are sick in their body? He wants them better. Do you want your kids better? So does our daddy, praise God. Hallelujah. Now, it says, ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham? It wasn't talking about a natural daughter of Abraham, but a spiritual. It was natural in the sense that she was a Jew, but it was spiritual from the covenant in nature. But she wasn't a daughter, flesh and blood of Abraham. But the Bible says because she's of Abraham or a Jew, she's in line for healing because healing, remember what Jesus told the woman with the daughter grievously vexed to the devil? He said, healing bread belongs to the children. Who? The children of Israel. It belongs to them. It's part of the covenant. That's why it's so ridiculous that people think that God's not a healer when it's clear in the Old Testament that if you were a Jew, healing belonged to you. Well, we're not in a lesser position than the Jews. They were servants, the Bible said. We're children. If healing belonged to the servants, healing belongs to the children. And he said, this woman is a daughter of Abraham. Healing belongs to her. Of course she gets it. It's in the covenant that she's in with me. Amen. Well, what's that have to do with you? Galatians 3:29. Man, that'd be good if you were sick to be a daughter of Abraham, because healing comes with that. Or a son of Abraham, right? Abraham's seed. Wouldn't that be good? Yeah, it is good. Amen. And if you, everybody say me. Talking about you. Be Christ. What's that mean? You're born again. Accepted Jesus. Anybody here accepted Jesus? Anybody here his? I'm his. Amen. I belong to him. Praise God. I've told you before. I got to tell myself again. I'm in love with a man. Amen. I'm in love with a man. I tell everybody. Today's my coming out day. I'm in love with a man. His name's Jesus. Amen. And I'm not afraid to say it. Praise God. He's given me his all. Hallelujah. And if you're his, then you, everybody say me again, are Abraham's seed. Well, what did Jesus say about the woman that was Abraham's seed in Luke chapter 13? He said, this woman's Abraham's seed. Healing belongs to her. Well, the Bible says in Galatians 3:29, you're Abraham's seed. Guess what belongs to you? Healing. Healing belongs to you. A change in 2020. The same God. Yeah, but the doctor's here. Yeah, but the symptoms here. You got to start seeing him for who he is. The superseder of the natural. Praise God. You're Abraham's seed. You're heirs according to the promise. What promise? All that goes along with being an heir of Abraham. One of the heirs of being Abraham back then for her. Jesus said, this is common sense. This belongs to her. Well, that's good and all, but let's take it a step further. Go to Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Not only are you Abraham's seed, but Jesus did something for you on the cross. That not only, you see, on the cross what happened? Salvation was made available for you. Yeah. Well, through the death, the burial, the resurrection. We needed him to raise from the dead for salvation and eternal life to happen. But that's not all that happened on the cross. And we as Christians, nobody can talk us out of our salvation. We know, my Jesus died on the cross for my sins. It belongs to me. Heaven is mine, right? It says in Isaiah 53, verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now, in my Bible, in the margin, it tells you what those griefs and sorrows mean in the original Hebrew. And if you look that up, and some other translations will tell you, it wasn't griefs and sorrows, it was sickness and pains. Now, I don't have the time to teach on this, but if you're newer with us, you say, what is all this, Pastor Mike? Let me just start by saying this. Don't ever be a baby bird. What's a baby bird? They sit in the nest with their mouths open. Mama can swoop in and drop a firecracker in their mouth, and they'll swallow that thing up and poof. Right. Well, what are Christians a lot of times? They're on TV. Well, he's got a church. Well, she's got this ministry. I'm just going to accept everything they say. No. Who gives a rip, a flutie-tootie, anything of what I say if it's not the Bible? I'm serious. So when I say this, that it's sickness and pains, online we have services where we did healing series. And it explains this. I don't have time today. But those words in the Hebrew are sickness and pains. It says, he has borne them. Where did he bear them? On the cross. And we esteemed him stricken, smitten, God afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, the stripes that were laid on him, what? Our sickness and our pains. The blows to his body. We are healed. Not only does healing belong to you because you're a daughter or a son of Abraham, it belongs to you just like salvation belongs to you because of what he did on the cross. Healing belongs to you because of what he did on the cross. It's yours. It was paid for. He wants it for you. And we see, that's just one example, but all we need is one. Because he's not a respecter and he's the same. But we see all throughout the word, he looked at natural situations that could not be changed and he superseded and healed them. He'll do the same for you. This should boost your faith, praise God. Go to John chapter 6 and verse 1. John chapter 6 and verse 1. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, your faith for healing should have just shot up. Amen. You should just stop saying, well, the doctors, well, the medicine, well, my body. How about say, well, my God. Yes. My supernatural God that healed this woman, that healed the woman with the issue of blood, that healed blind Bartimaeus, that healed the woman with the daughter that was grievously vexed to the devil. All these people in the Bible that we see that got leprosy cleansed and sickness and disease cleansed, he'll do the same for you. Take your focus and your attention off the natural and put it on your solution, which is him. John chapter 6 and verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Ooh, he wants to do a miracle on you. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. He said unto Philip, where shall we buy bread that these can eat? Jesus was cared about meeting their needs. And he said to prove him, for he knew what he would do, Philip answered and said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone may even just take a little. That's one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? Now we know by the end of the story, the Bible says there was 5,000 men. Didn't talk about the women or the children. So we're not talking about 5,000 human beings. And back then they had big families. We could probably safely estimate that there's probably at least 8,000 people with children and spouses and things. At least, even not, 5,000 is pretty good. Let's just leave it at 5,000. And what we have is 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. I don't care if it's 5, 6, 7, 8,000, 800, 500, 100. That's not feeding them. Is it? No. But what do we see? Jesus interested in meeting their need. Well, Jesus only does what God says to do or what God wants. So really you could say God was interested in meeting their need. But we have a problem. The natural says, nope, not going to happen. Oh, pastor, you don't understand how much I make. You don't understand what my checkbook says. You don't understand what my bills are saying. You don't understand what the calculator's calculating. I'll tell you what I do understand. You are a natural-minded individual. And if you don't start thinking different, you're only going to get what the checkbook says. You're only going to get what the paycheck can bring in. You're only going to get the what's right there. And they're looking at this in the natural and they're saying, 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread, 5,000 people, more than that. What are we going to do? And Jesus said, oh, darn. I'm stuck now. This is going to be tough. I'm sorry, child of God. I checked the account. I checked your paycheck. and your bills go far past that. You're on your own. What could I possibly do for you? That's not his response, was it? Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000, and Jesus took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, not just snacking, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Wait a minute. 5 loaves, 2 fish. People are stuffed, over 5,000 people, and there's leftovers. And they didn't walk away hungry. They're walking away stuffed. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets. He walked away with more than what he came with. Oh, never saw that. But notice, take what I have, Jesus. What do we talk about in offering? Seed time and harvest. How God likes to multiply your seed. He started with 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's his food. That's what that boy has. I need this, son. Here you go, Jesus. You remember the rich young ruler? The Bible said he was a rich young ruler, and Jesus said, follow me, leave everything and follow me. And because he had so much stuff, he wouldn't do it. And he walked away. And he would have been probably one of the people we read about today, you know, doing great things for Jesus in the Word. But he walked away because of money. He didn't understand seed time and harvest. Imagine if a rich young ruler would have done what Jesus did. Seed time and harvest still would have worked. He'd have sown all that seed. Can you imagine the harvest on that? This little boy sows seed, praise God. 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men that had seen the miracle Jesus did said, this is the truth, the prophet should come into the world. Now, I want you to see, we find a situation. God wanted to meet people's needs. Well, go with me to Philippians 4:19. Let's find our promise. Philippians 4:19. My God, what God? The God that's the same, the God that doesn't respect people, respects faith, the God that is a supernatural God. He says, I will supply all your needs. Well, you say, well, my checkbook. No, stop looking at the checkbook. We're looking at God now. The natural superseder. He says, I want to meet your needs, praise God. Not based on what you're making. Not based on what you have. Not based on what the bills are saying. Not based on what the accounts are saying. I want to meet your needs based on what I can do alone with my supernatural superseding of the natural power. And I'm the same if I did it in John 6. Now we could go all over in the Word and see where people had supernatural provision. So number one was healing. Number two, supernatural provision. I need supernatural provision going forward in 2020. Well, you're hooked up with the right guy. And I should use that word. He's not a guy. You know, I can't stand when people say, the man upstairs. That's so irreverent. He's not the man upstairs. He's the God that created it all. Praise the Lord. But we're dealing with the right, we're hooked up with the right one. So, you have precedent now. You have a situation. And you know what's cool about this church? I'm not saying this to brag. Because Jesus is my answer and my help. I've not heard one other pastor repeatedly have a financial testimony like your pastor had. And I talk about it all the time. Well, faith comes by hearing. You get the pleasure. If you start to ever think, oh my gosh, he's talking about this again. No. You get the pleasure of hearing how God superseded the natural. And for those of you that don't know, when I started this church, I quit my job at the Lord's leading, stayed home with Caleb when he was just about to be born. And financially, it put us $2,000 short every single month for 2 years. We never missed a payment. We were never late one time. In fact, I was looking at the notebook. I asked her, I texted her last night, asked her to get it out for me. She wrote down all the blessings because crazy things just kept happening. So she started writing it down, and it's just filled page after page. I went through and read dates and different things that happened. It's awesome. It's awesome. And so you have example, not only in the Word, but standing in front of you, this pretty face. I say that by faith. Call those things which be not as though they were. You say, you're prideful. No, I'm just a faith man. I'm calling the things that be not. Oh, look how pretty he is. Praise God. Just keep saying it till you believe it. And Have an example of someone that tells you, this supernatural stuff works. The natural told me there's no way. But God, through faith in God, He multiplied what little we had and caused provision to flow in our lives. He'll do the same thing for you. He'll do the same thing for you. You have precedent in the Word. You have precedent with your pastor. He doesn't love me more than you. He doesn't love these people more than you. He's the same God. He's no respecter. But He loves your faith. And He will flow in on your faith. Praise God. Go to 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1. Are you having fun today? I'm having fun. We're not too far away from being done, but we're not there yet. Praise God. I heard we're having all the fun football food today. Cheese, crackers, pepperoni, all that good stuff. To celebrate the Bills loss today. I mean, we're just getting it. We're gonna all eat before we lose our appetites. Listen to all the people out there getting mad at me. Just get so mad when I talk about the Bills. I love the Bills. You know I love the Bills. But I also love reality. 2 Kings 4 and verse 1, there cried a certain woman of the wives of the son of the prophets unto Elijah, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. So this woman comes to Elijah and says, my husband who served you, he's now dead. It says, and you know the servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor has come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. The breadwinner's gone now. She's got debts. Her husband was paying the debts. He's gone now. And she says, the creditor's come to get my sons to take them away to pay this debt off. Mama don't want to lose her kids. So she goes to the prophet and says, what are we going to do about this? He was faithful and served you. I need help. Well, naturally, what? There's no hope. There's no help coming naturally, right? She doesn't have an inheritance waiting for her. She doesn't have a huge savings account. She doesn't have a tax return to look forward to. There's nothing. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for you? Tell me what you have in your house. Never belittle what you have in your house. I don't mean your furniture. When I say in your house, I'm talking about in your life. Don't you belittle that paycheck. Don't you belittle that offering that you gave. I want my tithe to be bigger. Don't you belittle that. God can take what you have with faith and multiply it into greater. And he says to her, what do you have? Well, that's the wrong question to ask her, like from her standpoint. And she says, your handmaid doesn't have anything in the house except a pot of oil. What's she doing? Eyes on the natural. Eyes on the natural. And then, you know, you could say, well, God looks at that situation and says, oh, I guess I can't help her. What am I going to do? No. God doesn't care what your natural situation says. Do you see how it all boils down to when Mark 11:23 says you'll have what you say? Mark 11:24 says you'll have what you pray. But Mark 11:22 says have faith in God. It all starts with having faith in Him. Because when you have faith in Him, wow, you realize there's nothing impossible for Him. There's nothing hard for Him. And it says, then he said, go borrow vessels abroad from all your neighbors. He says, I know you don't have anything but that pot of oil, but I want you, this is by the word of the Lord, go borrow vessels abroad, not a few. Don't get a few, get a lot of them, he's telling her. And when you have come in, you're going to shut the door upon you and upon your sons, and you're going to pour into all those vessels. Now, remember, she has one pot of oil. He's saying to borrow a lot. Well, one pot of oil is not going to fill up all the pots of oil, naturally. That's what he says to do. When you come in, with how many you've borrowed, take the pot that you have and dump it in. And so, and set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she started to pour out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full, that she said unto her, bring me another vessel. Yeah, you would. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. Go sell the oil and pay the debt. Look at this. There's not a vessel. The oil stayed, verse 6. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil, pay your debt, and live you and your children off the rest. What am I trying to show you? We have precedent, and we find where he did it once. Supernatural debt payoff. Oh, I'm going to have this debt for the rest of my life. Why would you say that? Slap you. Just talk like that. Oh, but my one person. Oh, but my student loans are so big and they're giving me the dollar amount. As if God's moved by your amount. You could just get a picture of the Red Sea, you know. Think about naturally what that would have felt like. army bearing down. You finally feel like you got away from them. But now here we are, mountains to the right, mountains to the left, a body of water in front of us, an army bearing down, 2 million of us got to get across there. You can imagine the fear and panic when they saw the water in the natural. And God is not moved by it at all, doesn't give a rip if it was water, if it was sand, if it was quicksand, doesn't matter to him. Because nothing in the natural, he doesn't need the natural to help you. That's my point. If you can't see it in the natural, who cares? He is a way maker, and he doesn't need a way to make a way. Stop looking for the way to have faith in the way. He doesn't need a way to make your way. Amen. Is this the truth? We have precedent of supernatural debt payoff. Now, it might not happen in the exact same way. But you also have a preacher that not only did all his bills get met for 2 years on one salary, down $2,000 every month, but at the end of the 2 years, $60,000 worth of debt was paid off in 2 years on one salary, down $2,000 short a month. What's that called? Supernatural debt payoff. But you know what Pastor Mike was doing every day? Bringing this woman up before God. I'm telling you, I was. I wasn't just saying, exactly, my exact words were this: Father, I thank you that you meet and supply all my needs all the time, every single time. Father, I thank you we lack nothing. And Father, I thank you I am debt free. I just happen to think really big of my God. Amen. I'm not looking to just skip by and just get a little. I'm looking for the whole thing. Amen. Hey, man, I want it all, man. I want it all. And I bring her up. I say, Father, I saw you do it once. I'm just giving you insight into Pastor Mike's prayer life. I'm not trying to be dramatic or look a certain way. I'm just telling you the truth. Father, I saw you do it once in my conversation with him. When I talk about my money, I'd say, I saw you do it for that woman in 2 Kings chapter 4. You worked in her life for supernatural debt payoff. Well, you're not different. And you don't just have respect for her. It wasn't something special about her. In fact, I'm in a better position than she is. So, Father, I thank you for my supernatural debt payoff. 2 years, $60,000 worth of debt. It happened. It happened. But until you get your eyes off the natural, where was my eyes? On him. Nowhere else to put them because everything else was telling me no way. Number one, healing. Number two, provision. Number three, supernatural debt payoff. Go to 2 Kings 6 and verse 8. This is good, isn't it? We got two more. We'll get done here real quick. Give me 10 more minutes. 2 Kings 6 and verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. So the king of Syria is going against the king of Israel, the Israelites who are God's people, and he's making plans within his camp. This is where we're going to set up. And it says, verse 9, and the man of God sent unto the king of Israel. So the man of God here, who is Elisha, beware that you don't go to such and such a place, for there the Syrians have come. So remember, the Syrian king says, I'm going to set up in certain places. The prophet goes and tells the people he's fighting against, the Israelites, God's people, don't go down to that place. They're going to be there. Well, how did he know that? He knew it because God told him. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of and saved himself there. Not once, but it happened twice. What he's saying? This spared them. They were about to walk into an ambush, but they got inside information, intel, right, that kept them from going there. Well, therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was troubled. Well, you would be. How in the world do they find out? Do we have a mole? Do we have a traitor in our midst? He was troubled for his thing, and he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which one of us is for the king of Israel? What did he say? Which one's the mole? Which one's telling? Because the only one that's hearing our plans are the ones behind these walls. Who of you, because it's not me, is going out and telling the king, don't go there, because the only time we're talking about it is right here, and there's just a few of us. Which one of you is it? And one of his servants said, none of us, Lord, O king, but it's Elisha, the prophet, that is in Israel. He tells the kings the words that you speak in your bedchamber. Be careful what you speak in your bedchamber. God might tell your pastor. Maybe, if you need me to help you, you know. Just say good things. You don't have to worry about it. Just behave, you know. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. That's really God. I mean, I know Santa does that too, but God does. He sees it all. He sees it all. Santa's a God ripoff. I mean, really, he just does what God does, right? Sees you when you're sleeping, knows when you're awake. That's true. That's what he says. The song told me. Praise God. And he says, God's telling the prophet what you're saying in your bedchamber. So he's going over these plans, and God's telling him exactly what he's thinking and doing. God is awesome. Ooh, God is awesome. And he said, go and spy where he is that I may send and fetch him. And he was told him, saying, behold, he's in Dothan, or Dothan, or however you say that. Therefore he sent horses, chariots, and great host, and came by night and compassed the city about. So they found out where the prophet was, and he brought his whole army and compassed the city. Naturally, Houston, we have a problem. Now the prophet's surrounded. He doesn't have his army. He doesn't have an army, naturally. But now there's a natural army that's coming to take him away. Why? He's messing up the plans. And when the servant of the man of God was risen, so Elisha's risen early, and gone forth, he looked, and he saw a host compass the city with horses and chariots, and his servant said to him, my master, what are we going to do? Right? Well, why? Because the natural said, you're in trouble. The natural said, there's no help. But we're not dealing with a God that's concerned with the natural. So, Elisha answered, verse 16, said, don't be afraid. I love it. Where's Elisha's eyes? Him. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what you're dealing with down here. Don't be afraid of what people are saying. Don't be afraid of the pressure that's coming. Don't be afraid of the thoughts that are coming. There's a higher way. That's what he's saying. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I love this. He said, don't be afraid, for they that be with us are more than with them. Now, naturally, think, you've lost your mind. They have a whole army. We just have us, and they're after us. They want you. It's just me and you. And they have all their army, and you're saying there's more than be with us. Elisha, have you lost your mind? And what did he say? And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray a request of you. Open his eyes. Not his natural eyes. He was looking with his natural eyes. You got to stop looking through your natural eye and start looking through the spiritual eyes. He said, and the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, look what he saw. Behold, the mountain was full, not just a few, full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. We know it wasn't natural because he couldn't see it with his natural eye because he looked out and said, what are we going to do? But God opened his spiritual eyes, and what did God have? God had some supernatural assistance or supernatural help there. Yeah. And when they came down to him, Elijah prayed to the Lord and said, smite the people. I pray with blindness. And long story short, what happened? Supernatural deliverance. Do you need to be delivered from something? Do you need to be delivered from a situation? Do you need to be delivered from a person? Do you need to be delivered from an event in your life? But the natural says, that's the way it's always going to be. Not with God. Amen. You found it one time. God that delivered people when they needed deliverance. And what was the deliverance from? Nasty people. The Bible says the wicked and the unreasonable, we are delivered from them. We are delivered from them. Many of you have told me situations and things, and you're dealing with the wickedest and the unreasonablest of them all. And the natural's telling you things, and pressure's telling you things, and feelings are telling you things, and courts can tell you things, and judges can tell you things, and lawyers can tell you things. But all you need to be concerned about is what's God's take. And you're his child. And I found where people were in trouble, his people were in trouble, and he did something supernatural for them. Praise God. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you will prosper, but every tongue that rises against you in judgment will be condemned. What's that mean? There'll be times the weapons are forming. There'll be time when they're lining up. The weapons were formed that day, but they didn't prosper. Why? God. And then last but not least, go to Daniel chapter 2. These are just areas that the Lord dealt with me to preach on. We could sit here all day and talk about these, but these are the main ones that God wanted me to talk about. So we've looked at healing, we've looked at provision, we've looked at supernatural debt payoff, and we looked at deliverance. What did we find? God did it once. God did it once. So all I need to find is God did it once. Now I'm going to catch up to speed for time's sake so we can get out of here on time. Praise God. And Daniel chapter 2, the king, the nasty king, has a dream. The dream troubles him. The king wants to know, because he was so troubled with the dream, what does this mean? So he gathers all the wise men in the area to come and tell him what the dream was. They say, tell me what this dream means. And they say to him, to the king, well, tell us what the dream is and we'll tell you what it means. He says, well, it's escaped me what the dream was. And anyways, if I were to tell you, you'd just make time to conspire something to tell me something to get me off your back. He says, if somebody doesn't tell me the dream and the interpretation of the dream, I'm killing them. That's reasonable. And so he says, all the wise men, Daniel hears about it, a man of God, desires time from the king. He says, I'll get your answer for you. Well, in Daniel chapter 2, where do I want to go? So Daniel's one of the wise men that are going to die. You can read the story for yourself. Verse 16, then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show him the king the interpretation. The interpretation of a dream he doesn't even know about. If you're wondering what I'm talking about for this last point, answers. Some of you have been stuck for a long time, spinning your wheels, going around the same track over and over again, like the hamster. Do-do-do-do-do, just over and over. God knows how to get you out of it. God knows how to fix every problem in your life. God knows every question that you have, he knows the right answer to. Well, if we can find in the Bible when somebody needed an answer and God gave it, we can say, he did it once. Amen. He did it once. Praise God. That's what we're talking about. Then Daniel went to the house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. Now look at this, verse 18. That they would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning the secret. Other translation says that they would get together and pray and seek God for answers. Do you think God wanted Daniel killed? No. Why didn't God just drop the answer into Daniel's lap? Because that's not how God works. You have not because you ask and you'll knock and it'll be seek and you'll find. He's a rewarder of them that seek him. The Heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of before you ask him. But he wants you to ask him. Why? Faith asks. Remember? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that is, believes that he is must come to God, believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He said, faith people, seek him and expect rewards or answers. But there's the part of diligently seeking him. Well, he said, I don't know how to get this dream. And he's wise enough to know God doesn't want me killed. God wants me to have this answer. God doesn't want you stumbling around, fumbling around in your situation year after year, causing your family to be stressed out, causing chaos. No, God has your answer. But if you think he's just going to drop it on you, you're mistaken. It's not biblical. And then when it doesn't happen, you get mad and ticked off at God and start, well, this never works, doesn't work for me. No, cooperate with the Bible. It'll work. You're welcome for yelling at you too. You need it. You need it. They desired mercies of God that he would reveal the secret, and Daniel and his followers should not perish with the rest of the wise men in Babylon. So what happens? Needs an answer? Goes to the one that has all the answers. What does God do? God loves Daniel. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Whew. Look what it says in verse 22. Talking about God, he reveals the deep and secret things. God is not a hide-and-seek God. He is a show-and-tell God. But until you cooperate, but my point is this, the stuck places you're in, what do I do about this? How do I get out of this? How is this going to change? I don't know about this situation, this thing that's going on. He knows. In fact, he invites you, Proverbs 3 and verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, 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 in all your ways acknowledge him. Daniel said, I got to acknowledge you, you have the answer. And what's he say? Ask, you receive, seek, you find, knock, it'll be open, I'll give it to you. You found it one time now. Those things that are eluding you, you now have precedent. He did it once, that's all you need. He did it once, praise God. Well, you can take this for almost Now, almost every single thing you're facing, there's an answer for it in the Bible. And maybe I didn't hit the thing that is really pressing on you right now, but just come see me. We'll find precedent in the Bible. You can walk out here and say, He did it for that person. He did it back there. He's the same. He's got to do the same for me. Glory to God. 2020, new way of thinking, a supernatural way of thinking. Yeah, my money says this. Yeah, my body says this. Yeah, my kids say this. Yeah, my situation says this. But I'm not looking at the natural. I'm looking at it from a supernatural perspective of where there's nothing too hard or nothing impossible for Him. Were you blessed? Me too. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for Your word this morning. Come on and thank Him for it. We praise You, Lord. You are so good to us. You are faithful. Lord, I know what that means. You're faithful. That means You don't change. That if You said it, You'll do it. So, Father, we thank You for healing this morning. We thank You for provision this morning. We thank You for supernatural debt payoff this morning. Father, we thank You for deliverance this morning. Father, we thank You for the answers that we need. Father, because we've seen, You've done it once, You'll do it again because You are the same. You don't change. You are faithful as ever. You are just as faithful today as You were back then. Thank You, Lord. You don't look at us less than Daniel. You don't look at us less than those people that needed to eat. Less than that woman that was bowed over. Less than all the people we talked to. No, no, we're in a better position. We're Your children. So we thank You for our help. We thank You for supernatural help. We thank You we're going to stop looking at the natural. Stop being concerned at what the checkbook says, what the body says, what the symptoms say, what the circumstances say. And we're only concerned with what You said. And we put our faith with You. And we don't care if it takes patience. We don't care if it takes time. We don't care if it looks a certain way. We don't care. You're faithful and You're going to do it. You're going to do it, praise God. Thank You, Lord. Now, Father, I just pray for every single person here this morning that they get a revelation of this and it would sink down deep in their heart. It would be branded in them for life. That, Father, You are for them and that You are just desiring to move on their behalf. And Lord, we know that this is the case. If I could ask right now, please, a favor, if everybody would bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm asking that nobody would look around, not trying to be bossy, but make people feel comfortable and not, you know, self-conscious. We know He wants to do good things for you. I could have just stood up here all day and just preached about the sacrifice He gave you through Jesus, and that alone would tell you He wants you healed, provided for. I give you answers. Because He gave you the best. It should show you that He wants everything else. But by giving Jesus, it shows how wonderful He is. Now, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want to ask everybody a favor this morning. Ask yourself this question in your head right now. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Ask yourself that question. When I ask myself that question, the answer is 100% yes, I would. So how can you be sure? Well, I cooperated with Jesus. I did what He said to do. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure if I'd go to heaven. I'd like to. I think I would, but I don't know. Listen, get off the fence of eternity. It's a free gift that He made so easy for you to receive. Say, how do I receive it? Is it about church attendance? No, you never have to step foot in this place again to go to heaven. Is it about giving money? No, it has nothing to do. You don't have to give money ever. Is it about being my good deeds outweighing my bad? Nope, your good works can't get you in and your bad works can't keep you out. He loves you so much. I won't embarrass you. I won't have you come forward. I won't have you stand up. And I won't have you say anything on your own. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. But if you're here today and you could say, I've never received Jesus because Jesus said, I'm the only way to heaven. He said, you got to come through me. He said, if you believe on me, you won't perish. And you could say, I've never officially believed in Him. I never asked Him into my heart. The Bible says Jesus stands at the door of your heart and knocks. He wants in. Well, you got to open the door. He's not going to barge it down. He's not the SWAT team. He's not an intruder. He's waiting for an invitation. So heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. If you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and what that does for you, it gives you heaven for eternal. The Bible says that you receive eternal life. You will not perish. But also you become a child of God, and He wants to help you on this earth. If you want to receive Jesus here this morning, nobody's looking around. And you never have, and you want to get off that fence of eternity, would you just lift your hand high in the air if you want to receive the Lord this morning? Just go ahead and lift your hand in the air. I'll have you put it right back down. Again, we're not trying to embarrass anybody. And I like to give this a little bit of time because sometimes people are shy. And nobody's looking around. This is between you and God. But don't let this moment pass you by. In your heart of hearts, your heart's saying, this is my chance. This is my moment. Don't miss it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Is there anybody at all in this service? You want to receive Jesus for the very first time, just lift your hand high in the air. I'll have you put it right back down. Anybody at all before we close? Going once. Anybody? If Father, I don't see any hands in this building. But Lord, I'm thankful that it's not the raising of the hand. And Lord, there might be people listening right now or in the future to this message that I wouldn't be able to see their hand anyways. No, it's about the decision in your heart. So if you're here this morning and you want to receive Jesus, but you just didn't want to raise your hand, that's okay. It's not going to keep you out. Or if you're listening by live stream, you say, Pastor, you couldn't even see my hand. No, it's about the decision you make in your heart. And I just pray that if you want to receive Jesus, that you wouldn't pass from this life until you've made that decision. And if you want help and how to do that, you can see me privately, but I'll just give you a quick synopsis on what to do. Really, just the Bible says if you call on His name, you'll be saved. If you just in a private time say, Jesus, I heard Pastor Mike say it was easy to get to heaven. This is what I got to do. And you can call me. I'll give you the verses that give you the confidence in those. But just cry out to Him. Just say, Lord Jesus, I believe You were real. And I believe You died and rose again. And I ask You to come into my heart. If You'll do that, He'll do His part. He'll save you. Eternal life will be yours. He'll be a father to you on this earth. Great things will start to happen. If you make that decision or commitment, take one of those welcome cards or look online at the number and give me a phone call or shoot me an email. The email address is on there. I want to help you in going forward with God. You're not becoming a member of this church or making a commitment here. You're just making a commitment to Jesus. That's all. It's a free gift. Father, thank You so much. Let's stand to our feet and worship Him this morning. 2020 is different. 2020 is different because we're going to think different. We're not thinking natural plane anymore. We're thinking supernatural. Father, we worship You and praise You. Thank You for our help this morning. We glorify You in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you Wednesday. You're dismissed.